Today, brethren, is day 28 on our count to Pentecost. We've seen a little bit more emphasis on that this year for whatever reason. I know Mr. Smith mentioned last week in his message that it was day 21. It's easy kind of to count this first month because the count starts on April 1st, so today is the 28th of April, so it's day 28 to count to 50 days to be May the 20th. For the children of Israel, it would have been about day 24 around that in the wilderness. Day 24. Of course, this being the fourth Sabbath after the Exodus event would have put them camped at the wilderness of Sin. And that was just a place, not a description of what they were doing. The wilderness of Sin. That's interesting to sometimes contemplate as we follow the children of Israel. You can read about that, or we can read about that and about their journey in Exodus chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and read about it. It's interesting as we go, as we look at that and think about, you know, where they would have been today at the, you know, the wilderness or the desert of Sin. I looked it up on the internet. It's just kind of a desert area there where they were, but it's interesting. You know, when you contemplate that several million people moving, you know, through this desert wilderness and setting up camps. Sabbaths 4 and 5 again have been, were then, or have been, or had been spent then at the wilderness, or at the area of the wilderness of Sin, as it says. I think that's in Exodus chapter 16, somewhere roughly, verse 8, as I recall. It's not my purpose today to take us on a journey of the children of Israel, other than to encourage us to read through some of those things about their journey, the journey that they had, and to learn the lessons there that God intended us to learn. You know, Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he said these things are written, they happened for our example, and I think 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11 says, for our admonition. For our admonition. They happened for our example and for our admonition. But I just want to draw a specific lesson from that in the message today. Let's turn to Exodus, back to Exodus chapter 15. We're not going to spend a lot of time in Exodus here today in terms of this, but it's interesting to think about, you know, as we go through these days between the days of unleavened bread, Passover time, the days of unleavened bread in Exodus chapter 12, and through on to Pentecost, where Moses was and came down from Mount Sinai. God gave the Ten Commandments. So it's felt that that was the sequence of events. To kind of see where they were and what happened to them. But we read here in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. We talk about days and numbers of Sabbath. You know, how many days has it been for us? How many Sabbaths has it been for us? How many Sabbaths have we done this? Have we been here, sat in services? Be interesting to think about that, wouldn't it? Some of us, many of us maybe, go back to the 70s, the 60s, you know, 50 Sabbaths a year, holy day, you know, number of holy days every year. How many services? 60 or so services a year. You take that times 10, 20, 30 years, we're looking for 500 Sabbaths that we've been doing this. 500 times that we've gotten together on the Sabbath day to learn what it is God has in store for us. Verse 23 says, "Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water." So they'd been 3 days in the wilderness and had found no water. And so they came but they couldn't drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. They were bitter. Therefore, the name of this place was called Marah, or if you have a margin in your Bible, verse 23 says, bitter. That's the Hebrew word meaning bitter, Marah. Or that's what it means. It means bitter. Waters were bitter. Verse 24, and the people complained. Now we see that, pardon me, the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now we would also be thirsty, wouldn't we? You know, we think, you know, we wouldn't complain, but we would. We would complain if we had no water, we were in the desert, we were in a wilderness. We would complain. We would murmur. We would, you know, probably not trust God the way that we should. The children of Israel certainly didn't trust God the way that they should have. So he cried out to the Lord, he being Moses, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Now, God can do that, of course, and we know that. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. He tested the children of Israel. Does God ever test us? Does God test us? The title of this sermon today is, "What is your or our Moran?" What is your or our Moran? Word, of course, as I said, means bitter. What is our test? We all have tests, don't we? What is our test? Let's turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, in verse 21 and 22. Acts 14, verse 21 and 22. God tests us, doesn't he? God tests us. I want to talk today, as we went through the brief story there of the children of Israel, about the fact that God tests us. And we'll consider some reasons why God allows us to be tested on our journey. Some reasons why, some things that we can learn from being tested. And why God, and reasons why God tests us. Acts chapter 14. In verse 21 says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," they being Paul, and I think it was maybe Timothy here, I didn't go back and look up and see exactly who it was, "they When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. They were teaching and preaching them and encouraging them. So they were strengthening the souls, exhorting them and to continue in the faith. You know, we get exhorted, don't we? We get encouraged to continue to stay in this path, in this journey that we're on. We get that encouragement frequently. So exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations. Many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. It is through tests and trials. There will be tests and trials along the way. Eternity, the kingdom of God is not always a smooth road, is it? The road isn't always smooth. Now a smooth road in this part of the country and world is something that we understand, especially this time of year, that it's not always a smooth road. We can be going down the road and it seems like all of a sudden there's a stretch of highway where there are large chuck holes and big holes, and I know on my way home from work there's one, and I miss it most days. I know where it is. I know exactly where the chuck hole is. And every once in a while there must be something in the air or flying, or I'm looking over here instead of over here, and I get reminded that there is a chuck hole on the road. Well, the road to the kingdom of God, the road for us to eternity, is not always a smooth road, is it? It's not always a smooth road. It can be rather bumpy. There are trials and tribulations. There are tests, just like the children of Israel were tested, where God said he tests them. Just like they were and were tested, we have our tests, don't we? We have our tests. So let's consider some reasons why God allows us to be tested. See what we can learn from those tests. Number one, God tests us to bring us to a deeper repentance. There are many, many reasons. I could probably list, if we think about it and thought about it, 100. I have 4 or 5 of today, depending, we'll go through, depending on the time factor that we have. But the first one I have is to bring us to a deeper repentance. And repentance is not something that stops when we go through the Red Sea, is it? You know, we can read in 1 Corinthians 10 that the children of Israel went through the Red Sea as a type of baptism. It doesn't stop, you know, when we go through that counseling session before we are baptized, and then we get baptized and have hands laid on us. We're still physical at that point, obviously, and we still make our daily mistakes, and it doesn't stop there. We continue to be repentant, and it brings us, God tests us. He tests us to bring us to a deeper repentance. It's an everyday thing. You know, that we slip up. It's a daily thing, God tests us, and we continue to repent, and it brings us, and having those tests brings us to a deeper repentance. Romans chapter 2, And we'll read verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness?" Verse 3 says, "And do you think, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering?" God is long suffering with us, isn't he? I think most of us can say, I know for a fact that he has been very patient with me. I think all of us can say that there are times that he's very patient with us as we work through some of our issues and work to overcome some of those things. Excuse me, seem to have a little bit of a congestion today. Hope you can bear with me. So he's long-suffering, he's forbearing, knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. It is God, you know, God that is leading us to complete surrender and obedience to him. God is leading us to repentance, isn't he? He leads us to repentance. God does that for us, and he's very patient with us. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Obedience is a very important part of this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We'll get to more of that a little bit later in the message. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. We have to heed and think about these things. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28 says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments and statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." And we see a series of things. We also see a series of blessings. If we were to go up to verse 1, says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." There are blessings that come with obedience. God tests us to see if we will obey him. We'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. Verse 40, let's drop down to verse 45 through verse 47. Verse 45 says, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you, that and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder," verse 46, "and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything." And God did have to punish the children of Israel for their lack of repentance, didn't he? Their lack of repentance. The same principles apply today. You know, the same. God wants us to serve him with joy and with gladness of heart for the abundance of everything that he gives us. So God is bringing us and testing us and allows us to have these tests to bring us to a deeper repentance. Job, back to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job chapter 1. God wants us to be in his kingdom. We want to be in his kingdom, but God probably wants us there more than we want to be there. And he will see us through, as we'll read a little bit later on in the message. God will see us through and help us. We can count on that. Job chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "Then the Lord said to Satan," I always think it's interesting here that that God and Satan were having this conversation. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil." So here we see a blameless, it says, an upright man that God gave severe tests to, didn't he? God tested him beyond what we could think about, didn't he? As we read through the book of Job and you know, Job chapter 2 specifically, and we read the test that God gave to Job, that God allowed Job to go through. And Job learned from that. Job chapter 42, we can read that. We can read about those tests, and we have, and can again, and should again from time to time, and read about the tests and what God allowed Satan to put Job through, and the tests that he gave to Job. Verse 1 through 6, verses 1 through 6 of chapter 42 says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do everything.'" Do we know that? Do we can ask ourselves that question? Do we really believe and know that God can do everything? "And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." That's an interesting statement and something that we can contemplate and think about. No purpose of yours can be withheld from you. God is going to fulfill His purpose. His purpose will be fulfilled. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. So Job went through a series of tests that we can read about in this book. But then he talks about the things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Things he learned through those tests that he did not know. You know, do we learn things through our tests? Do we come to a deeper repentance and a deeper commitment to God's way of life as a result of those tests? Verse 5 says, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." Now my eye sees you. So we come to a deeper repentance sometimes because of those tests, and we see things that we otherwise would not. God allows us to be tested. All of us have tests and trials, things that we go through. Therefore, verse 6, Job said, "I abhor myself and repent." Repent in dust and ashes. So Job abhorred himself, and he repented in dust and ashes. So tests and trials, tribulation, troubles, God tests us, and it allows us to more deeply repent. Point number two that I have, point number two, and as to why God allows us to have tests and the reasons for those, to deepen our conversion. To deepen our conversion. God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be deeply committed. He wants our heart to be deeply committed. I didn't write this scripture down. I think it's in Isaiah maybe 66, where he talks about the earth is my footstool. He wants our heart. To this man will I look. To him who has a deeply committed heart. Now that's paraphrasing. I'm not quoting that verbatim. God wants us to be deeply committed and converted to his way of life. John chapter 15, he wants us to bear fruit. John chapter 15, in verse 1 and 2, John 15, verse 1, Christ said here, this again was on this evening when before he was going to be crucified. In verse 1 he said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He described his Father as a vine dresser. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. God wants us to bear fruit of his way of life. He wants us to deeply repent, to be deeply converted, to have a heart that is deeply committed to his way of life. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he what? He prunes. He prunes. God prunes us, doesn't he? He tests us. Snips away little things. You know, when we prune a tree, it's always amazing to me when you prune a tree in the fall, and in the spring it just sprouts in all kind of ways. God prunes us so that we can sprout. That, you know, as it says there, that we may bear more fruit. He prunes us. He tests us so that we can bear more fruit, that we can be more deeply converted to his way of life. It's a wonderful blessing, really, when God does test us. And he does. We all get tested. Sometimes we think even it may be beyond our ability to take it. All of us do. All of us have our tests in a variety of ways. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, a very encouraging passage. Hebrews chapter 12. In John chapter 15, in verse 8, I might quote that for you before I leave the chapter. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that we bear much fruit. If we bear much fruit, it says, so will you be my disciples. Hebrews chapter 12 is again a very encouraging passage. Verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 12 verse 5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That God tests and tries us. Again, in a variety of ways and at different times in our life. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He gives us tests and scourges every son who he receives. You know, God's correction is a blessing, isn't it? He gives it to those he loves. He wants us, brethren, he wants you and I to be a part of and to be in his family. And that's a blessing for us to realize that God tests us. He tests us just as he tested the children of Israel. Point number three that I have reasons that God tests us is to teach us more perfect obedience. We touched on that a little bit ago when we talked about repentance. We touched on obedience there a little bit in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's talk more specifically about that today here with this point. God allows us tests to teach us more perfect obedience to His laws, to not take them lightly. We ever take God's laws lightly? Think about that. Think about your life and the things that you do. You ever take God's laws lightly? Now, David set us an example with some things that he wrote. Let's look at David's life as an example of how God deals with people. Psalm chapter 119, we'll go to the book of Psalm, chapter 119, read a couple of verses there, just to get a little bit of a thought, our thought process into the fact that God tests us to teach us more perfect obedience. Psalm 119, verse 67. David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." I went astray. Does God maybe sometimes have to kind of guide us back into the straight and narrow path? Do we sometimes stray a little bit? We can ask ourselves that question. Do we sometimes go a little bit astray and God brings us back? "But now," David said in verse 67, "I keep your word." I keep your word. Verse 68 says, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Verse 69 says, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart." My whole heart. We talked about that in point number 2, about conversion. That God wants our whole heart, doesn't He? He wants our whole heart. And David here said that "I will keep your precepts from my heart, with my whole heart." Verse 70 says, "Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law." Can we say that? Do we delight in God's law? Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." It's interesting that Job said that, and David says this, talks about being afflicted to learn his statutes, that he was tested. God tests us so that we can learn, so that we can see better. Verse 71, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted." I'm sorry, I already read that one. Verse 72, "The law of your mouth is better for me than 1,000 coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." "Those who fear," verse 74, "you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know," verse 75, "O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be of comfort according to your word to your servant." So David here was afflicted, wasn't he? And David knew why he was afflicted. You know, can we have that attitude? of verse 75, I know, Lord, that your judgments are right. Do we have that attitude? And that in faithfulness you afflicted and tested me. Psalm 118, back a couple of pages to Psalm 118. While we're there, we'll read verse 18. Psalm 118, verse 18 says, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. So David, obviously, and we know that he was tested severely, wasn't he? And yet he learned obedience, didn't he? He learned obedience. You know, do we ask God to show us our shortcomings and our wrong attitudes? Do we have the same attitude that David did? Do we, you know, keep his laws the way that we are instructed to? You know, the Sabbath, we talk about tests, the Sabbath has often been referred to as a test commandment. This day, this Sabbath day, what's our attitude about the Sabbath? Do we do the best we can to make sure that we keep the Sabbath day appropriately, according to how God has instructed us to keep it? Do we keep it appropriately? You know, we can read about that. I think it's Isaiah chapter 58. Let's turn to Isaiah. I think we've got just a few minutes, to a little bit ahead of schedule, I think. Isaiah chapter 58. Do we keep God's Sabbath day? How important is it to us? You know, we gave a message a few years ago on the Sabbath day and on keeping of the Sabbath day. How important is God's Sabbath day to it? Do we do our own thing on God's Sabbath day? It is a test commandment, after all. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13, it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. This is God's holy day. It's a day that is sanctified and set apart. It's not Friday, is it? It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. It's not Sunday. It's not the first day of the week. It is God's holy day, set aside, sanctified for a specific purpose. Do we keep it holy the way God intends for us to? Do we keep from doing our pleasure, doing what we want to do? Keep it appropriately and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing our own ways. Not doing your own ways, it says. So we don't do our own ways today, do we? We don't, you know, go to certain things that we don't do. There are certain things that we make sure that we don't do our own thing. We don't go to the movies, do we? We keep God's holy days, his holy Sabbath day, honorable, and we honor him. Nor finding, it says, your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on high, on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with heritage of Jacob, your father, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Just, again, just an example. And just something that I'll ask us, do we keep God's day, God's Sabbath day holy? Do we honor our parents? Do we not covet? You know, that's a hard one sometimes for us. You know, those are all things that we're learning and perfecting, isn't it? We're learning, God is teaching us through tests and trials more perfect obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, God wants us to learn more perfect obedience, to be obedient to him, to give ourselves over to Him, that what He is teaching us and showing us is most important to us. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says, though He was a son, He being Jesus Christ, yet He learned obedience, didn't He? He learned obedience through and by the things which He suffered. He learned obedience by the things that He suffered, verse 9. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Christ was perfect, wasn't He? Yet He learned obedience through suffering, through being tested. And we learn obedience. God teaches us obedience through being tested and through suffering, through trials. Point number four that I have as to reasons why God tests us is to develop compassion in us. To develop compassion in us. You know, sometimes if we didn't have any problems in our lives, we wouldn't know what it's like for others to go through things, would we? But we know what it's like oftentimes to go through things because we ourselves have been tested. And sometimes we're tested in areas in areas best for people to help others, to be able to best help other people, we have to have compassion for them. You know, we have tests in our life and we can help others go through things. I had a friend recently, a colleague that I work with, who's gone through a series of family trials and tests. His wife had cancer and she died about last August. He had a brother that died in October and one that died in November. And then a couple of weeks ago, his 19-year-old granddaughter died. And he told a friend of mine that he has had about all, you know, he doesn't know if he can take a whole lot more. Now, I'm thinking that most of us would probably struggle that struggle as well. And his name is Don Beidle, and you might pray for Don, because obviously he doesn't understand God's truth. But none of us, all of us, would struggle a little bit with that kind of test and trial, wouldn't we? God tests us, doesn't He? He tests us all in different ways. We may have financial tests, or we may have health trials, or family trials, or, you know, there are all kind of tests that God may put upon us, that He tests us with. And we can learn to have empathy and compassion for others as a result of that. Hebrews chapter 4, we're in Hebrews already. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Might ask us a question. We'll stop there for just a moment and ask us a question. How do we feel about other people's weaknesses? How do we feel about our weaknesses, but other people's weaknesses? Can we sympathize with other people's weaknesses? Can we do that? Can we empathize and sympathize with them? Says, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus Christ understands, doesn't He? God understands. Jesus Christ understands what we go through. And we can learn to be more compassionate and have compassion for others when we go through tests, don't we? God can test us, and one of the reasons He tests us is so that we have more compassion for others, and can offer and be more compassionate for them, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. So Jesus Christ was tempted, was tested, tempted like we are. And he is empathetic and has sympathy for our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." God is merciful. And the God of comfort. God is a God of comfort. We can learn sometimes by being tested to provide more comfort to others, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Let me read that again. You read through that again. Who comforts us, verse 4, from all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those. So in the tests that he gives us, we can then take and extend that to those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We can be comforted. We can comfort others. Verse 5 says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds in Christ." So tests help us to learn compassion, don't they? Tests help us to learn compassion. Point number 5, final point for today. Point number 5, to prepare us, reasons that God allows us tests, to prepare us for rulership. To prepare us, to help prepare us for rulership, so that we can teach others these tests that we have learned, to be, you know, more deep in our repentance, in our conversion, to more deeply repent, to teach others obedience, to develop compassion in us, so that we can be like Jesus Christ, tested in all points, as we are, Christ said, to prepare us for rulership. We read in Acts earlier that it is through much tribulation, that we enter the kingdom of God. So it helps us to prepare for rulership in the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll read verse 3 through 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "For we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." And that is a truism, isn't it? God's people, our love abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all persecutions and tribulations. All the tests that we endure, that we go through, Paul said. He said, for your patience and faith in all tribulations and persecutions that you endure. All of us go through tribulations, don't we? All of us go through and are tested at different times. Verse 5 says, "Which is manifest evidence of righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." For which you also suffer. That we're tested, that we endure patiently and faithfully tests that we endure and faithfully endure persecutions and tribulations, that we may be accounted worthy, as it says, verse 5, of the kingdom of God. Counted worthy. So we endure tests to be accounted to prepare us for rulership. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." We will have tests, won't we? As though some strange things happen to you. The Good News Bible there says, for fiery trial says, painful test. Do not think it strange, but if you have painful tests, God tests us for our own good. And the contemporary English version rather says that we're going, don't think it strange, going through testing. God tests us, doesn't he? Verse 13 says, but rejoice. Again, that sometimes can be a challenge. One of the challenges that we have. There are a number of scriptures as we read them, and we've talked about them before, that as we read them, think, boy, that is a challenge. Well, rejoicing in our tests is a challenge. Peter said, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. God is going to reveal glory in us. And we can look past these tests. God gives us these tests for our good, that we can learn as we read in Job, that we can see things that we otherwise couldn't. And they can be painful tests. But God gives them to us for our good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Back to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 17. Says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, sometimes in the overall scheme of things, and compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That is a true, isn't it? We know that. I know that it's difficult for all of us when we're in tests. And all of us, every one of us in this room, has endured tests and trials and tribulations, haven't we? Every one of us. It's difficult for all of us. But verse 17 here is a very encouraging scripture. It's working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We're talking about eternal life, aren't we? So, brethren, just like the children of Israel, God tests us, doesn't he? He tests us. Every one of us faces tests in different ways at different times. But just as God tests us, he will also see us through those tests. He promises that as well. Let's look at a couple scriptures in closing here. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14 and see who it is that brought the children of Israel through this process. And then we'll look at another scripture to show us that God will see us through it as well. He'll see us through these tests and trials. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 27 says, and we know the story, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians. God is able to bring us, you and I, through any test, through any trial, through any tribulation. God can do that, and He promises to do that, and He will do that. Any trial that we have. Philippians chapter 1, back to the New Testament, to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Very encouraging, helpful scripture for us that I'd like to close this message on. All of us have trials and tests. God tested the children of Israel just as He tests us. God will see us through our tests. We have a hymn in our hymnal, hymn number 133. And no, I'm not going to go into the final hymn, Mr. Allen. But I'll read through the first verse where it says, "We all know doubts and fears. Life is full of toil and tears. Still we're told, have no cares. God will see us through." Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul said, "Being confident of this very thing." We can be confident of this, brethren. We can know this. "That He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God will see us through. God will complete His work in us. He promises to do that. As we have tests and trials, this is a good scripture, a memory verse, really. A good scripture for us to lean on. That we can be confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do we believe this, brethren? This is a promise. So, brethren, just as God tested the children of Israel, He tests us. He tests us on a regular basis. Let's be sure that we don't forget, and that we are confident that He knows what He's doing. He knows His plan, as we read earlier. He knows His purpose, and that He will see us through any test that we will have.